I said, when the praises go up, you ain't sent them up yet. Don't you lift your praise up to them. Thank you. Amen. This is an exciting, exciting, exciting day. Grateful to the Lord for the blessing that he has provided. We had 7 this morning for baptism, and just grateful that God moved upon their heart to where they would want to give their life to Christ and then to show and reflect that through baptism. So we're grateful. We're grateful that the Lord is blessed. Amen. This morning's message, I want to bring you to again to the book of Acts. As a matter of fact, we're going to be in the book of Acts for some time as the Lord directs us in the book of Acts. And we're in chapter 1. And while you're turning there, I want to thank everyone that came out to support the newbie family on yesterday, especially our ushers and our food committee and those that took part in that service, a great memorial service. We hate to see her go, but we know that she's gone to a better place. Amen. Amen. So we're praying for the family still and other families that have lost loved ones. We're praying for them that God would indeed work in their lives and bless them and give them grace and comfort. Amen. Acts chapter 1. Following our service today, we do have a couple of activities, things that we want you to help us with. We also want to have the dedication of our church officers. So all of you that have leadership positions in the church, we're going to ask you to come up following this message. And then we will proceed. And after that, we're going to have the dedication of our officers. And then we'll greet our new candidates, give them Bibles. And then we'll close with communion service. Amen. That'd be all right? Amen. Amen. God bless you. Acts chapter 1, and beginning with verse number 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly 2 men dressed in white stood beside them. Verse 11, men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven. And when the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. From these verses, I want to leave you with a subject, this same Jesus. Not another one. This same Jesus. This same Jesus. Y'all didn't get it. Look at somebody, tell them, this same Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Father, we pray you'd bless us now. Help us to proclaim your word as we have studied. I pray that you'd help me to bring forth through the power of the Holy Spirit. I cannot do this without you, but I can do all things through you who gives me strength. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless the waiting ears of the congregation. Help us to discern your truth and to apply it in our lives. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving. And all the people said, amen, amen. Amen. Talk to somebody while I take a water break. Amen. It must have been tremendous for these apostles to watch Jesus ascending in the cloud. What an amazing sight. But as they stood there, something else came across their mind. Is this the last that we're going to see him? This Jesus that we've known, we broke bread together. They watched him perform miracles. They had spent 3 years of their lives, day in and day out, walking and talking with Jesus. And now they are watching as a cloud received them out of their sight. And they kept gazing. And they kept wondering. And they said to themselves, what are we going to do now? Everything that we've done for the last 3 years has centered around Jesus being there. And now he's gone. And they kept looking. And they kept watching. I don't know whether they were really wanting him to come back and stop descending or ascending up into the clouds, but something grabbed their attention. And finally, two angels appeared as if to say, hey, 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 men of Galilee, why are you looking up into the clouds? This same Jesus. Not another. Not somebody else to take his place. Not an angel. Not some other manifestation of God, which certainly God can do that. But this specifically. This Jesus emphatically. I'll look that up when I get home. This Jesus in particular is coming back. You're probably wondering, well, what does that have to do with us today in our generation? Problems and situations come in our life, and we'll often ask ourselves, is the Lord with me or not? Is he going to help me through my crisis? Is he going to give me the answer to my problem? Is he going to walk with me because he's not physically here? I can't see him with my eyes. I can't touch him with my hands. How do I know that God is with me? Read the verse. This same Jesus. You know, and that raises this question, this concern that we have. Well, if Jesus loved us, why didn't he stay with us? As the disciples asked earlier in that discourse, they said, now, will you at this time restore Israel? And Jesus basically said, it's not for you to know. But you shall receive power. You're going to get authority. You're going to get the ability of the Holy Spirit to go out and demonstrate to the world that you're my witnesses. That's what's going to happen in your life. But meanwhile, we're just kind of drawing a big blank. I don't know what to do now. I don't feel the presence of God. I don't know whether he's with me or not. I'm just going to go on and hang in there and do the very best I can. We're much like those same disciples who were looking up into the sky. I want to deal with a twofold question today. First one, why did he go away? If he was God Almighty, why didn't he just come, as the disciples said, set up everything, and then all the problems of this world would be gone away and we could just live happily ever after, right? That wasn't the plan. He had to go away. Look at somebody, tell him he had to go away. Jesus' ascension, which means going up. His going up into heaven was on purpose. It wasn't by accident. It had already been planned from the beginning of time that he would ascend. He that also descended onto the earth, he would now ascend far above, as Ephesians said, all the heavens. Not just the sky, not just where other planetary systems are, but far above all the heavens. And he would sit down at the right hand of God Almighty. And we would look at that and we would say, well, what has that got to do with me? That's got everything to do with you.
So let's deal with that question of why did he go away. First, I want to tell you that he went away because he said to Mary when she was trying to cling to him in John 20 and verse 17, I must ascend to your God and my God. I must ascend. Notice the word must. I've got to. I can't stay here. I can't close the deal between God and man unless I go up to my Father. Are y'all in the building? He said, I must ascend. You say, well, why did he ascend? He ascended into heaven because he was the King of glory. Amen. You probably didn't know that. You said, well, he's the King of my life. I give honor to God. He's the head of my life. But he's the head of everything. Everybody say everything. Everything, everything is everything. He is the Lord who is ascended into glory. Psalm 24 is a prophecy about Jesus. It's a prophecy about Jesus. What does it say in Psalm 24? Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye eternal doors, and the King of glory shall come in. The question went around heaven, who is this King of glory? The answer came back, the Lord, mighty and strong. He is the King of glory. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye eternal doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. Now, the psalmist wrote it in the psalm, but it didn't get expressed until Jesus ascended up past the clouds, and then when they spotted him and coming into glory, they said, who is that on that cloud? It is Jesus, the King of glory. Ladies and gentlemen, do you not know that if he's not king, somebody else is? If he's not the sovereign ruler of the universe, then evil has prevailed. I can look at problems now in my life, and I can say, this problem shall not prevail, because I know that there's a king, and I'll go to the king for justice. But if he didn't sit down on his throne, how could he be there as our king and as our mighty God? Can I get a witness in the building? So he ascended to be your king. Do you not know what they say when a judge comes into the courtroom? All rise. And then as the judge is seated, everybody else takes their seat. I can tell you that heaven erupted in glory. It erupted in praise when Jesus came in, and then he sat down at the right hand of God, and there was praises in heaven. And there ought to be praises on the earth because he reigns. Look at somebody, tell him he reigns. I'm going to get y'all to talk to one another. I know you're still sleepy. Could have stayed in bed this morning. It was cloudy outside. You said, you know what? It's been a long night, but guess what? Morning has come. Touch somebody, tell them, good morning. He ascended as the King of glory, according to Psalm 24. But not only that, he ascended as our high priest. The Bible said he offered up himself once and for all. Once and for all. But if he stayed here, he couldn't make sure that they knew about the sacrifice in glory. So he ascended to say to all of glory, I gave everything. I don't know how people can say, well, I'm going to live my own life. How could you live your own life if he gave you everything? If he died, if he sacrificed himself, it is an utter insult for us to say, I'm going to do it myself. Jesus gave everything for you and I. I love the way they write it in Hebrews. They said he rose as priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, there was another priesthood on the earth by the priesthood of Aaron, but Jesus said that's not good enough. His Father gave him another priesthood. You say, I don't know Melchizedek. Neither do I, but I know Jesus. And it's not up to me to figure it out. He's already said, this is the order. I am your high priest. And that means every prayer you pray is sanctified when you say the name of Jesus. Every time you say, well, Lord, I'm going to do this in your name, you're honoring him because he's our high priest. People say, well, we don't have to go to a high priest down here anymore, but you still got to go through a high priest, and it's the one up there. Are y'all in the building? Sometimes you feel like your prayer doesn't even hit the ceiling. But you know what happens? Your high priest grabs your prayer, brings it up to the Father, and said, this is what they asked. If he did not ascend, he couldn't do that for you. If he had not ascended, he couldn't make intercession for you. If he had not ascended, he couldn't show his hand and say, this is all that I gave, Father. I gave myself for them. I thank God I got a high priest. I thank God I got a king. But not only that, he ascended as our advocate. That's a big word. It simply means lawyer. Did you not know in the United States that if you're not able to afford a lawyer and you have to go to court, one will be appointed for you? You might not like them. They might not be able to do a good job. I don't know. But one will get appointed for you. But thank God we got a lawyer in the courtroom of glory. So when there's judgment, you don't have to worry about it. You got the... Y'all ain't gonna shout you. Look at somebody, tell him he's a lawyer in a courtroom. That's what the old folks were saying. Your lawyer. You say, well, now why didn't Jesus stay here? He had to represent you. You know how many times you mess up. You know how many times you get in trouble. You know how many times you need forgiveness. You know how many times you offend God and everybody else. But you got a lawyer. And his name is Jesus. He's the lily of the valley. He's a bright and morning star. I'm glad I got a lawyer named Jesus. I'm glad that he knows the law, so nobody can accuse me and get away with it. Because my lawyer said, it is written. Can I get a witness here? He had to rise. He had to ascend. We don't teach much on that doctrine of the ascension of Jesus, but he had to ascend to fulfill everything that was written about him. And the other thing that just came to my mind, Fred, they had to put him in the highest place because he had done all the work. Yes, see, he had went to the lowest valley, to the deepest depth. He had gone to the sink, to the lowest place that ever could be gone. So why not now ascend to the highest place? Amen. Jesus has now taken that place. Your advocate, your king, your priest, your lawyer. But not only that, he said, I must go away. You mean you got another one, Rob? I got another one for you. He said, if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit's not going to come. He's not going to leave glory until I get to glory. So when they watched him on that cloud, what the angels wanted them to do to get in place, because the angels knew what was next, Reverend Ray. If they were still out there looking up, can't see him, but just looking up anyway. If he had stayed there, they would not have been in the place where Jesus told him to go. He said, go tarry in Jerusalem. Now, old Pentecostals used to believe in tarrying for the Holy Ghost. You ain't got to tarry no more because he's already here. All you got to say is, Lord, I make myself available to you. Lord, I need you in my life. I need you to show me what I'm supposed to do. And the Holy Spirit will come upon you. But they waited. They were supposed to wait 10 days for the Holy Spirit to fall upon them. Are y'all in the building? Some of us can't wait 10 minutes. We microwave folk. And then get mad at the microwave because they're not ready in 10 seconds. Hello, somebody. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 16, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go away, I will send him. I will send him unto you. So he had to ascend. And the doctrine of the ascension is very critical to the church of the living God. If he's not in place, he cannot represent us before God. But with him being in place, no matter how messed up our life gets sometime, and it does get messed up, amen? But you've got a high priest that pleads before God for you. You've got a high priest that always keeps his eye on you. You've got a king of glory who always says, no matter how low they are,
they're still in my kingdom. Are y'all listening? I'm talking about the mercy of God. I know some of y'all have lived so good, you ain't never done nothing wrong. Well, for the rest of us, we've been out there. We know what it is for God to pick you up and turn you around. And thank God we have a high priest, we have a lawyer, we have a King of glory, and we have the Holy Spirit now to represent us on earth. But now let us look at this fact, the second question: what did the angels mean by this same Jesus? Now, when I say this, y'all gonna probably go, oh, we're here for a long time. I'm gonna give you seven things, but I'm gonna take just a little while on each one. Y'all all right? Yeah. Don't go to sleep on me, because I'll preach till you wake up. But I say this because this is important. As much as the ascension meant, it is also important that we understand the identity of Jesus will not change because he's in heaven. It will not change. As a matter of fact, with him being in heaven, he is now occupying a place where he can be omnipresent everywhere all the time. He can be omniscient, all-powerful, almighty God, and he can be omniscient, also knowing what's on your heart, even though you don't express it. He knows everything about you, because he's now in that seat. While he was on earth, he had to walk to places where he would go. Am I right? Read the Gospels. But when he ascended, he said, if I want to go somewhere, I can just pop up at any time. As a matter of fact, sometime when you're in a place where you ain't supposed to be, and the Lord pops up. Hello, hey, Jesus, didn't know you were coming. I'm messing with y'all. I want to mess with you. Because you know how you are sometimes. Lord, turn your back. I'm getting ready to go over and pay a lottery ticket. I'm going to mess with you. The apostles had a problem that we often have. We don't know how to get past the past. We don't know how to get beyond the hang-ups, things that could hold us back. And so we're paralyzed at a standstill, just looking up. What are we doing in church? We're just kind of looking up, looking up, looking up. Rather than moving to the next level, we feel comfortable right where we are because we can't deal with where we've been. Is that you today? Is that me? If so, you need to understand that same Jesus that's been watching over you is going to continue to guide you. Let me quickly give you seven things. I told you about these right here, so you already know why he went away. Okay, so we got that. Now, thing number one, truth about the same Jesus. God has a plan for every puzzle. Some of you are drawing a question mark right now because Monday morning you don't know exactly what you're going to be doing and how you're going to handle some situations that are going on right now. You're sitting in this service and you're praying, God, I pray you work it out, but I don't know how it's going to work out. You don't have to work it out. Did you not know that when Jesus was with the apostles, if they ran into a problem, all they had to do was run back to Jesus. Hey, Jesus, we ran into this problem right here. What do we do? But now that he's ascended, they felt like, okay, it's on me now. It's not on you now. Say this same Jesus. This same Jesus who is taken up into heaven will so come in like manner. Not a different one, but the same Jesus. If you got a puzzle, if you got a situation that you can't get it together, does it seem like everything is falling in pieces, and the more you try to put it together, strong wind comes by and blows it apart again? This same Jesus who brought you this far is going to take you every step of the way. I'm ministering to somebody now. I'm helping somebody because you're saying, you're scratching your head, as my mama said, where it don't itch, and yet you can't solve the problem. All you're doing is just scratching out your hair. But this same Jesus is going to help you. That's why the apostles wanted them to realize, or the angels wanted the apostles to realize, hey, he's gone there, but that doesn't mean he's absent. He's still with you. Number two, God is a person not an idea.
Internet filled with definitions about God, filled with crazy stuff, concepts, ideologies, beliefs. All roads lead to heaven. Boy, that was a good one, wasn't it? Try that even in the country out here. Go down some of these country roads and see if all roads lead to your home. You're going to be lost like a high ball and high wind. Come on, say amen, somebody.
Amen.
People are coming up with ideologies every day because the devil is always trying to feed you misinformation about Christ.
Amen.
The Bible tells us there's only one God.
Amen.
Only one. Name is not Buddha. I ain't got nothing against Buddhists. Nothing at all. But all I can tell you, there's no salvation in Buddha. There's no salvation in anyone else except through Jesus. Why Jesus, preacher? Check your history book. Did anyone do what he did? Look at all the other ones that say, well, we got a great ideology. Did they die on the cross? That's the question I want to ask. Did they fulfill the prophecies? All the prophecies in the Bible were about Jesus. He said, now search the scripture. You search the scripture. Find the ones that give eternal life. And Jesus said, I declare they're the ones that talk about me. He's not an ideology. I'm so proud of these young people. Because they're going to be ridiculed. You mean you believe in that religion? And young folks, just tell them, it ain't a religion, it's the truth. It's the truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. Stand up for your faith. And if people ask, show me Jesus. I can't show him physically, but I can show you how to walk like him. I can show you how to act like him. I can show you that he's love. I can show you that he's in my heart. I can demonstrate through the word that he's living in me. And if you're not convinced by that, then you don't have faith. But if you have faith, you'll see that God is real. Amen. Thing number two, I told you I was going through them real quick. If you don't wake up, I'm going to be gone. Third thing, there's a place to meet the Lord. There's a place to meet the Lord. And that's a strong point because it was not on the Mount of Olives where they were. That meeting place, even though it was a grand location, they could see up into the sky. But that's not where Jesus told them to meet. He told them to meet in an upper room in Jerusalem. And so when they went back to Jerusalem, as we're going to find out later, that's where the Holy Spirit came upon them. Our place of meeting, we say, is here in this building. And it doesn't mean that this building is all that in a bag of chips. It's just a building. But if the Lord said, I'll meet you there, guess what? I'm going to meet him there. Guess what? You know, when I need to go to the doctor, I don't tell him, well, I'll meet you at the corner of 5th and Main. He's going to look at me, man, you crazy. I got to meet him at his office. And right now, Jesus has a local headquarters that he calls the church, where two or three are gathered together in my name. There am I in the midst of them. You and I, every time we get together, as much as we disagree about stuff in life, we lay all that aside and say, you know what? We come together in Jesus' name. Do you love that? Amen, somebody. Fourth thing about the truth about this same Jesus has said to us that God has made us a promise and he won't take it back. So there's a promise for everything that you will face in life. The angels asked them, why do you stand here looking up into the sky? This same Jesus, which is a promise. You got a promise here today. And the promise is the Lord made to you, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Let me ask for a show of hands, those of you that you felt like, well, I wanted the Lord to change my circumstance. Did he always change it? No. But was he always with you?
Yes.
He promised never to leave you,
yes.
Nor forsake you.
Yes.
So you see how his ascension is critical to our belief, but also you see how his promises are here with us to keep us every day. That's because the Lord is teaching us how to walk by faith. How to walk by faith. If you could see everything, it wouldn't be faith. All right, y'all getting ready to get sleepy on me. I see that glaze coming across your eyes now, like we're getting ready to take a nap, Rare. Yeah, you woke us up early this morning there. And we've been here a long time. All right, stay with me, amen. Number five, God's provision guarantees our future. There are a lot of people nervous nowadays. What's going to happen in the future? What's going to happen to our young people? Well, didn't you make it? Do you think that God's going to stop making a way just because some people in the world want to do harm to others? Do you think that God is going to say, okay, I can't do anything else? No, that's not your God. That's not my God. As Mahalia Jackson says, he got the whole world in his hand. And all you got to do is trust him. Don't be looking at the news all the time and get on your nerve. Read your Bible before you go to bed at night. That way you can sleep better. Look at the news. Get all stirred up. The Bible said that they strained to see him as he was rising from the clouds, not knowing that every promise that Jesus made, he would bring it true to us. And it's still true today that if you trust him, if you listen to him, he'll guide you because he loves you just that much. John 3:16 has not changed since Jesus has ascended. Hadn't changed a bit. And then John, as I quoted on yesterday, John 14 and verse 1, it hadn't changed either. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. None of these promises have changed. They're still there. You don't have to be gazing into the clouds trying to figure out the answer for your life. The Lord is still with you. Number six, God's presence is not dependent on a location. What if you can't get to church? Don't worry about it. The Lord said he'd be with you. You're not going to be able to get with the saints all the time, but you can get on your knees. You can call on the name of Jesus and know that God has blessed you. You've got to get past the past in order for you to get to the place where he wants you. The same Jesus will also come in like manner. Let me just deal with that for a little bit before I close. The same Christ that ascended into heaven will also come back. Here's the thing. We don't know when. We do know where, because it said so. He's going to come back to that same Mount of Olives, because the angel said he's going to come back in like manner, which means riding on the cloud, coming there outside of Jerusalem, and descending onto the earth. He said, well, how do you know that, preacher? I don't know it. I just believe it. And here's why I believe it. If God could turn my life around, I know he can come back. If he can do those things in our lives to redeem us from sin, I know that he will come back to this earth. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're just settled with, well, let's just obey the teachings of Jesus and the things that he said, they were not really literal as he said them, hogwash. They were just as real as you are. And he's going to fulfill his promise. You just got to wait on him. If someone said, well, prove it, you tell them, you wait and you see. I'm gonna be like the person who said, you know what? If it's not real, I don't lose anything. But if it is real and you're on the other side, you're going to lose everything. So it's all right to trust in the Lord. It's all right to believe in his word. It's all right to say, I'm waiting on Jesus, and I know he's waiting on me, because we know that one day this same Jesus is going to come back. I'm getting ready to close, but I want to take you to another scripture that I just read this morning. You've got to have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. People say it's a hard life living as a Christian. Let me go further. It's impossible to live as a Christian unless you have the Spirit of God. When you have the Spirit of God, even when you don't feel like it, God will lead you anywhere. Even when the troubles of life seem to be so heavy on your shoulders, God gives you that encouragement. Let me just see the hands of some of you who've run into an obstacle and you said to yourself, I don't think I'm going to make it. But guess what? You're still here. That was not you. That was not your strength. But the power of God Almighty kept you through those times. You didn't just feel like giving up. You gave up, but then the Lord picked you up. I'm talking about this same Jesus. Yeah, I'm talking about the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. And I'm not ashamed to tell people I've got the Holy Spirit. I've got to have the Holy Spirit, because without the Holy Spirit, I'm not going to make it. But this is how I've come this far. Are you kidding me? You don't be a preacher 40 years on a pulpit, amen, just by your own power. God's got to be with you. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I will be honest with you. There were times I came short of God's glory, but he never came short of his promise. That's why I praise him. This same Jesus who took my hand a long time ago, this same Jesus, can I tell you what my grandma said? He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me, reminds me, I am his own. I don't know about you. I don't want a new Jesus. I want the same. Some of you got problems on your mind, but guess what? I'm going to praise him anyway until the problem go away. I'm going to give him thanks because he's worthy. Real quick, turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4. I think it's still there. The devil tried to erase it, but that's all right. I think it's still there. Look at somebody to tell him this same Jesus. Yeah, it woke me up this morning. This same Jesus started me on my way. This same Jesus. Not another Jesus, but this same Jesus. And you ain't gonna fool me like talking about him. Tell him I am the Christ. You better show me some scars. Amen. You better show me how you died on the cross. If you're going to be Jesus, you want to show me how you have all power in your hands. My Jesus walks on water. My Jesus calms the raging sea. My Jesus comes into your heart and he gives you peace of mind. That's my Jesus. And if you don't have my Jesus, you can have him today. Look at somebody, tell him, I got to finish. I told you I was going to finish preaching a long time ago. I done lost my verse, Al. Okay. Hold on. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm about to get happy up here. Amen. Look at this now. Look at this. I'm talking about word right here. He wrote this for you and me. Paul was inspired to write this. Listen, verse 7 of Ephesians 4. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, look at this word, when he ascended, that meant when he went up. When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Are y'all listening? Now, verse 9, he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? You wonder what he did when he died? What he did when he died, that sounds poetic, doesn't it? He went down into what we call the place of the dead, Sheol, and he preached there. This same Jesus. Are y'all listening? What a mighty God you serve. He can preach to the dead. Can I get a witness here? This same Jesus. Verse 10 says, he that descended is the same also that ascended far up above all heavens. Everybody say all heavens. All heavens. Read the last part of that verse. Say what? That he might fill all things. I'm not talking about getting a portion of, but getting all of it. That he might fill. You'll know that he's ascended when you get filled with the power you need. You'll know that he made it to glory when instead of you saying, I can't do it, you start saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You'll know that he's ascended because he's given you something that the world can't take away from you. This same Jesus is yours. It's yours. It's yours. And the devil can't take it from you. It's yours. This joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. And if the world didn't give it to me, the world can't take it away. This same Jesus, he walks with me. He talks with me. I got to stop. I got to stop. I'm finished. I'm finished. But you don't know like I know. And I don't know like you know what he's done for you. But the same Jesus is in your heart today. Trust him, believe him, and follow him. Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. I've never preached from that passage before. The Lord knows if you're willing, I'll preach it again. Because you are the same Jesus. You're the same Lord. You're the same Christ. And you never will change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you for that. Thank you for that trust that we can have in you. Bless us now. As only you can do. Help us, Lord, that we would glorify and honor your name. We love you. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to first give the invitation. If there's someone today that perhaps you are not confident in what you're believing in, but you want to trust in Christ, let the Lord lead you. Maybe I'll stand. For those that are joining online, I know that you can't come in here, but you can correspond with us. Go to our website, crossroadbc.com, and drop us a line. Say, hey, I want to learn more about what it means to trust in Christ. And we'll try to get back to you. This same Jesus. Doors of church are open. Whosoever will, let him come.